on Sunday morning, while it was still dark, Mary Magdalene came to the tomb and found that the stone had been rolled away from the entrance. She ran and found Simon Peter and the other disciple, the one whom Jesus loved. She said, "They have taken the Lord's body out of the tomb, and we don't know where they have put him." Peter and the other disciple started out for the tomb. They were both running, but the other disciple outran Peter and reached the tomb first. He stooped and looked in and saw the linen wrappings lying there, but he didn't go in. Then Simon Peter arrived and went inside. He also noticed the linen wrappings lying there, while the cloth that had covered Jesus' head was folded up and lying apart from the other wrappings. Then the disciple who had reached the tomb first also went in, and he saw and believed. For until then, they still hadn't understood the scriptures that said Jesus must rise from the dead. Then they went home. Mary was standing outside the tomb, crying. And as she wept, she stooped and looked in. She saw two white-robed angels, one sitting at the head and the other at the foot of the place where the body of Jesus had been lying. "Dear woman, why are you crying?" the angels asked her. "Because they have taken away my Lord," she replied, "and I don't know where they have put him." She turned to leave, but saw someone standing there. It was Jesus, but she didn't recognize him. "Dear woman, why are you crying?" Jesus asked her. "Who are you looking for?" She thought he was the gardener. "Sir," she said, "if you have taken him away, tell me where you have put him, and I will go and get him." "Mary," Jesus said. She turned to him and cried out, "Rabboni," which is Hebrew for teacher. "Don't cling to me," Jesus said, "for I haven't yet ascended to the Father. But go and find my brothers and tell them, I am ascending to my Father and your Father, to my God and your God." Mary Magdalene found the disciples and told them, "I have seen the Lord!" Then she gave them his message.
Glad someone's put a helpful table here this morning. It's going to be very handy. Very happy Easter to you. Let's pray just as we begin to reflect together. Risen Christ, we pray that you will be alive in us and alive in my words this morning. In Jesus' name, amen. Christ is risen. Alleluia, Christ is risen.
He is risen indeed. Alleluia.
Now, I think you may have had practice of that one earlier, did they? Yeah? So let's try it again. Next one. Alleluia, Christ is risen. We've just heard that most wonderful, uplifting story. From the gloom of Good Friday, we've been transported to the utter joy of Easter Sunday. One who was dead is now alive. And the downcast, tearful, and fearful disciples are now ready to throw a party. It's the ultimate feel-good story, and it's something that we're all buying into this morning. Celebration is in the air. But being a down-to-earth practical chap, I need to ask that question. If Christ is risen, so what? It's a lovely story. Are we all feeling cheery this morning? I know it was hard work getting out of bed, losing that extra hour. There was only one couple at the 9:15 congregation who turned up at 10 past 10, but we won't name them, and we won't mention it again or bring it up in conversation. But we've got that extra hour. We're celebrating this morning the good news of Jesus rising from the dead. This miracle that's been doing the rounds for the last 2,000 years. But we need to ask ourselves, so what? What difference does it actually make to our lives? It clearly made a difference to the disciples. If we go on to read the book of Acts, we see that. But what about us? In our workplaces, in our schools, in our homes, in our places of leisure, how does it actually affect our approach to life, our attitudes, our outlook, and our well-being? You may be wondering what's in this box. There's good news. In this box is an egg. Anyone want the egg? In this box, there's another egg. Does anyone want this egg? And you can't have this one if you had one last time. Ha! Come and join me. If you'd like to open that box. We're going to think about some of the reasons why Easter and the resurrection of Jesus is something to celebrate. Is there anything in there? There's an egg, which is good news. And reason for hope. Okay, you can take that egg away, although there will be further instruction later as to what you do with your egg, so please don't eat it yet. Reason for hope. Easter gives us reason for hope. I guess we've all seen the images that have come out of Brussels this week. We've despaired at the brutality of human beings to one another. I guess most of us have been following the refugee crisis over these recent months and the challenges facing politicians as they work out how best to respond to that in a way that values human life and every human being. Over this weekend, we've had that dreadful story of the Muslim shopkeeper up in Glasgow, Asad Shah, who seemingly texted his Christian customers a message wishing them a happy Easter, and was then murdered as a result. On Wednesday evening, we had Messy Church here, and one of the activities that Anita and others got folks doing was getting the children to write down some of the things that they were sad about in the world. And I don't think it was difficult for any of those children, however young or old they might be, to write something down. And we had a cross just up here, full of some of the things that people were sad about in the world. And it can be quite a depressing place sometimes. But if Christ is risen, we hold to a real hope that evil can ultimately be overcome and that death has been defeated. No one or nothing could stop him. And the Bible's full of amazing promises for God's people. If Jesus didn't rise from the dead after he talked about doing so on countless occasions, why should we trust any of the other promises of God? Why should we believe that one day he'll return, or that one day there'll be no more sickness or dying or pain? Resurrection gives us a completely different attitude towards death. We might worry about how we might die, but we can live trusting on the promises of eternal life. I was chatting to someone a few months ago, and we were talking about death, and they were sharing some of their thoughts about what they might like in their funeral service when the time came. And I threw in a question, and I said to them, how are you feeling about dying? And a smile came over their face, which was a little surprising. And they said one word. They said, excited. I thought, wow, isn't that amazing? You know, we think of death as something to be really feared. But the hope of heaven lies beyond, and that's something to be excited about. And we're reminded of that in the resurrection story. We have reason for hope. I wonder what else I might have in this box. Do you think so? I'm not sure your dad's going to let go of you. I think he reckons you've had too much chocolate already this morning. Is that true? Actually, you can come up here, because if you turn around and face everybody, you have got Lego characters on your T-shirt, haven't you? And there's a brilliant retelling of the story of Jesus and the death and resurrection of Jesus in Lego, which is on YouTube. I think Helen may have put a link onto the Facebook page as well. So do have a look at that, because that's another reminder of the story. Now, anyway, you didn't want me telling stories about T-shirts. You wanted that one, didn't you? So why don't you open that one and see what might be inside. And there might well be another message, another reason for us to be excited about Easter. So there's one thing gets us excited about Easter, the egg. And we've got another message here. What does it say this time?
Purpose in life.
Purpose in life. Thank you. Why don't you take your egg back with you? We have purpose in life. We have something to live for. Life is about more than putting bread on the table for our spouse and kids. It's about more than being considered a success in the career we've chosen, or on the sports field, or successful in some community initiative we're involved in. It's about more than that. It's even about more than doing well in exams, you'll be pleased to hear. If Jesus was raised from the dead, then surely his promises and commands can be relied upon, and we're caught up in his purposes, living lives that please him. Paul said to the Galatians, "It is no longer I who live, but Christ who lives in me, guiding us, comforting us, calling us to follow him and to make him known, living to make a difference." I've got one egg left here. Anyone else? Come on then. How many of you had this morning? I'm going to check how many you've had this morning. Only one. Should she have the second egg? You're too soft, the lot of you. Too soft. Okay, well, why don't you open that one? Is this anything to do with Easter? No? Little Miss?
Princess.
Little Miss Princess. Yeah, not too many Little Miss Princesses in our house. Strange, that. But we have another message. Thank you. Why don't you take that away? It says, news to share. News to share. We have wonderful news to share. Those who've opened their Easter eggs this morning, I wonder how many of you have shared your Easter eggs. Hands up if anyone has shared their Easter eggs with anyone else in the family. One, two, three, four, five, six, seven, eight. Now be honest, who didn't share their Easter egg but has wolfed it down rather quickly? Hands up in the air so we can see who you are. One, two, three, four. There were a few in that row who put their hands down again. Andy at the back. One, two. Oh, I can't count. when we get an Easter egg, we think, oh, it's for me. It's all mine. In fact, on those boxes, I noticed, it said on the front, this egg belongs to, dot, dot, dot. And I imagine you're supposed to fill in your name on there. And then no one else is allowed to touch it. It's all for me. And yet, this message of Easter, yes, it's for us, but it's actually something to share with other people. Jesus rising from the dead is wonderful news in itself. But what about the message of forgiveness? The message of freedom? The message of new life? Not something to keep to ourselves. Other people need to hear it. There's a quite scary statistic from a recent survey that suggests that 40% of people in England don't actually realise that Jesus was a real person. Now, that may not be true for the older generation, but it's certainly true of the younger generations growing up today, for whom Jesus is more of a myth or seen as something of a fictional character. That's worrying. But we know otherwise. We have this message, this wonderful truth of Jesus to share. People need to know they're loved by the creator of the universe, that Jesus died for them, that they have value and purpose. I'm so glad that parents and friends and youth leaders and others were willing to share the good news of Jesus with me. They didn't keep it to themselves. And that's made a massive difference in my life. And I'm sure for most of us, we can think of other people who've shared that same message with us. The reality of a resurrection life can be expressed in so many different ways. It can be displayed through our actions, how we behave, through our attitudes, underpinned by these values we've been looking at in recent weeks, the values of thankfulness, graciousness, openness, and prayerfulness. But it also needs to be expressed through our words. I think there's one great attitude of example of resurrection attitudes earlier on in the week here. Thursday morning, we had Holy Communion service as usual at 9:30. Just after the service finished, a couple walked through the door. They introduced themselves, or someone asked them who they were. Muriel and Ken. They said, "We got married in this church 65 years ago today." Incredible. And they just wandered over. They live in Grace Court. They've been living there the last 20 years. They wandered over, and all they wanted to do was to stand outside the front of a church and to have their photo taken so that they had a memory 65 years on. But what happened instead was that they were invited in. Someone offered them cake. People came and talked to them. Someone announced it was their 65th wedding anniversary, and everyone burst into applause. And I prayed with them after that. And those things expressed that resurrection attitude. It said, this church is alive. We believe in the story of Jesus. It makes a difference to our lives. That's a resurrection attitude. But what about the words we express as well? We read in 1 Peter, always be ready to share a reason for the hope that you have. Sharing the good news with those around us. It's something we'll be focusing on a bit more in the summer term with a series after Pentecost entitled The Joy of the Gospel. But for the moment, I just want to show you a short clip.
What about This is what they felt like when it happened. And today, it's how we should feel too. Because what it meant for them, it means for us.
He is risen. What an amazing message.
Just imagine when disciples recognize the truth of that message.
And sometimes perhaps many of us here have been Christians for many, many years. And perhaps the message of Easter has, it's still exciting, but it's become a little bit sort of taken for granted. Just imagine hearing that message for the very first time. The grave is empty, Jesus is risen, and really taking it on board. I wonder who's brought their mobile phone with them this morning? Few people. If you've got your mobile phone with you, this is the time when you are allowed to take it out. You are allowed to switch it on, to take it off silent. And I want to encourage you, if you've got a mobile phone, use it now, in a way I'll explain. If you haven't got one with you, just think for a few moments. Who's... I've just had a message from a member of the congregation who can catch. It's saying, the grave is empty, he is risen. he's sharp, that boy. Ollie's joining me on 2 weeks of the Hazelmere Youth Camp starting tomorrow. I can see I'm going to have to watch him. If you've got a mobile phone, use it in a minute. If not, just think, is there someone who you could express the joy of Easter, the message of Easter to, when you get home? Could you send them a message? Could you give them a call? Could you drop them a note? Whatever it might be. This is a message to share. So the challenge for you, if you've got a mobile phone with you this morning, is this. To look down through your address book and think of at least one person who you can just send a simple message to. It may be a very simple, Happy Easter. Or it may actually express a little bit more than that. And you've got a choice. You can either do it in the very safe way and pick someone in your address book who you know will respond with great joy to your message, someone who shares our Christian faith. That's a safe option. Or you could actually look down and think, is that person I've been praying for, or is that person I know who I'd really love to grasp hold of the resurrection story, the truth of it? And maybe just a simple message to them. It may just say simply, I'm with friends celebrating Easter in church this morning. It may be the start of a conversation with someone. So, just for a couple of minutes, if you've got a mobile, do that. A quick message to someone. If you haven't got a mobile with you, just reflect on that and think, is there someone who today I can express something of the joy of Easter? We've talked about the reason for hope, the message of hope, the message that gives us purpose, but also the message that needs to be shared with others. And by the way, those three people who got the Easter eggs, you need to share. Just 2 minutes then. If you've finished that, just hold your phone in the air. If you haven't got a phone or you're still in mid flow, just pause just for a moment as I pray. Lord, we thank you for wonderful good news, Easter.
And Lord, we pray that even these messages we've just sent or messages we might send later might be used by you to draw others to yourself. Work in the way that only you can, Lord. In Jesus' name, amen.
We're going to have the prayers now.
As we've been thinking of people who are receiving those messages, there might well be people we're praying for as well. And as we send those messages, let's continue to pray for them and for others in the world. And Darcy and Grace are going to lead us in some simple prayers now for others. And you don't need to close your eyes for these prayers. You'll see those same images, pictures that we saw on the screen come up in relation to those prayers. So Grace and Darcy, where are you? They're on their way down, fantastic. They come down from the balcony. Okay. So let's be still for a moment and just thank God for this opportunity to pray for those who are so special, to thank God for the fact that the sun is shining. We're going to be able to go outside in a minute. Come on, girls. Come and stand in front of here. And come and stand in front of here, and I'll hold this for you.
Okay. God of darkness, we pray for all.
One second, we'll just start again.
You ready, John?
Okay.
God of darkness, we pray for all who are broken in spirit and sad of heart.
God of mystery, we pray for all who are wondering where you are right now.
God of revelation, we pray for all who are beginning to believe.
God of heaven and earth, we give thanks for those we love but no longer see.
God of encounter, we pray for those who are just about to meet you.
God of surprises, thank you for rising from the dead. God of the gospel, thank you for the good news of Easter.
Amen.
Well done, girls. Thank you very much indeed.
Okay, we're going to sing then now about God's love that is so wide and so extensive that it flows over the mountains and the sea. Our song echoes throughout the world.